Blog Talk Radio.
Cowards try to change our lives, change the things they despise in America. But heroes, fueled by freedom, that unalienable right to be, came to rescue the injured, rescue the innocent, rescue these truths we hold to be. Self-evident.
And I love the intro music too, but unfortunately I made a bit of an error and a quick careless oversight, and I've cut myself short on time today. Instead of having 45 minutes, I'm going to have only 30 minutes to do the show today. I don't know why. Well, no, I can't blame Blog Talk. It was my error, but if you have a 30-minute show, I don't know why it's even an option to have it at 15 minutes. If I could make any kind of suggestion, it would be cut that out entirely. It's a 30-minute show with 45 or with 15 extra minutes of overtime or whatever, instead of just accidentally not pushing anything, basically, I guess, is what I did, and having a 15-minute show, which will actually be 30 minutes, but it's 15 minutes short, which is unfortunate because I've got quite a bit to talk about today. Probably won't get to all of it now, but that being said, good to have you, whether you're listening live or on the archives. And if you are listening live and you wish to call in, even though, again, it's going to be a shortened show and, excuse me, a content-intensive show, but that number as a courtesy is 347-989-8387, and the chat room is open as well. I wanted to talk today. We're 2 days away from Election Day, obviously, November 8th. This is Sunday, November 6th. And I wanted to talk about this election and the show that I've called Selection 2016. And you might ask, is that a play on words? Well, in a sense, and not in the sense that we, the American people, are selecting an actual candidate for president or selecting an actual president. That's kind of the whole point of things. Instead of Election 2016, Selection 2016, as I have never become more convinced. And look, this is not a show to say don't go out there and vote. And this is not a show to say it's all hopeless, give up all hope. Certainly not that, especially, which for Christians, you should never do that, obviously, anyway. But it is a show, or it is a year in which I've never been more convinced that as FDR apparently once said, whether intentionally or accidentally, the president is selected rather than elected. And first of all, just briefly, and I'm probably taking too much time in doing this, and if it seems like I'm talking too fast, I don't think I'm talking too fast for anyone, but if so, I apologize. But just look at even the past three elections as a quick example, and you can probably go back farther than that. On the Democrat side, you had Barack Obama, who, if you looked into Obama's background, you had the most radical leftist, I'm sure, candidate running, but somebody who was on the far left, somebody who certainly is a Marxist, against John McCain, somebody who, if we didn't know back then, we certainly know now, is not exactly a solid conservative, who is somebody who 4 years prior, John Kerry actually wanted or courted as a running mate on the Democrat side. And, you know, a common thread in this, too, that you could certainly say is the name George Soros. George Soros has donated to John McCain and may still donate to John McCain for all I know. But that was the matchup in 2008. Radical leftist against faux conservative, would-be John Kerry running buddy, George Soros donee, which isn't even a ward, I know. But anyway, that was a matchup in 2008. In 2012, we had Barack Obama running for re-election against the man that, again, George Soros said in an interview that during the Republican primary, he would like to see Mitt Romney be the Republican nominee because there really wasn't any difference or much difference between Romney and Obama, other than the fact that Romney would pick what Soros considered to be an extremist vice presidential running mate and would be pressured to pick what he would consider to be, in his words, in his view, extremist Supreme Court candidates. But he said there was little difference between them. And in 2012, we got Mitt Romney and we got Barack Obama. Now this year, we have Hillary Clinton, a cruel, heartless, cold, corrupt woman, against who I've always considered to be a mini-me in a oftentimes corrupt, at times cruel, businessman. And you have George Soros, who's donated to Hillary Clinton, who is donating to Hillary Clinton, but you also have a George Soros connection to Donald Trump in the past, when he contributed $160 million to Trump Towers in Chicago, and when he contributed, I believe it was $80 million of debt relief to Trump. And there's also, they were both involved in, as defendants, in a racketeering, in a RICO lawsuit involving the GM building in New York City, that they would have had a judgment, a multi-billion dollar judgment levied against them, had it not been for the fact the judge discovered that they were trying to litigate and settle the matter out of court. But anyway, and again, that's just a very brief, very quick rundown. The point is that every election, certainly the last three, we've gotten a far left, almost the farthest left Democrat that they could come up with, against the most liberal Republican candidate that they could come up with. And this isn't by accident, by any stretch of the imagination. Now, I know one of the things that I've seen, and look, those of us who have studied with Shepherd's Chapel or do study with Shepherd's Chapel, anyone who might catch the show or listen to the show who falls in that category, we are very fortunate indeed. We're very fortunate because we've had incredible Bible teachers and just the absolute best ministry that I've ever come across when it comes to teaching the Word and teaching people how to read and understand the Word for themselves, which is vital, which is critical, which is crucial. But I, and again, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. Somebody once remarked that I was trying to be holier than thou. I don't know if that's what they were literally saying. Certainly not. Okay, certainly not. That's never the intention. But I wonder if people aren't trying to read too much into certain things rather than sticking simply to the simplicity that is in God's Word, the simplicity that Christ taught us. For instance, the name Trump. I feel like this is somewhat getting off the point, and I mean, not really, but somewhat in a truncated, abbreviated show today, unfortunately, but I do want to bring up something important in this. Without judging, without trying to be divisive, without any of that, which we've had a lot of, unfortunately, in this election, amongst Christians, amongst conservatives, amongst people in general. But there's a lot of people who say that, well, the name Trump indicates a connection to the Trumps of Revelation, the seven Trumps. And look, I'm not going to say that this is all a coincidence. What I will say is that Donald Trump ran for president in 1999 and 2000. He ran for president in 2000 and, almost ran for president. A lot of people thought he was going to in 2011. And so he's been kind of flirting with this and sticking his foot out there, throwing his hat in the ring one time previously, almost throwing his hat in the ring a second time. So this isn't a new thing for Trump. You know, it's not as if all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have this Trump blowing who's running for president. No, he's done this or thought about doing this or hinted at doing this for at least 20 years. Some say it's been 30 years in the making. I'll have a story on that if I can get to it today. But anyway, and the trump that blows, unfortunately, the next trump to blow is the sixth trump, kind of the 666 trump seal and vial, if you will, which is the arrival of Antichrist. And so, you know, that's not a Trump. While God's elect will have very important work to do during that time, that's not a Trump that most of the world will be able to look forward to as a good thing, although most of the world in their minds will believe, unfortunately, that it's a good thing. But that is the next Trump to blow. And now I've seen this Donald Trump will be 70 years old, 7 months, and 7 days on Inauguration Day. And this is true. This works out. But I do want to throw this out there, that there's also somebody at a Facebook group called Who Are the Kenites posted that there's also a 666 connection to Donald Trump, that his family, the Trump family, bought and controls the most expensive single building ever purchased in the United States at 666 Fifth Avenue, a street symbolizing money and greed. Yes, they actually bought and control the building at 666 Fifth Avenue. This building appeared in The Exorcist II, The Wolf of Wall Street as well. The Trump family paid $1.8 billion for the most expensive building on record. 18 is 3 times 6, or 666. It is controlled through Trump's daughter Ivanka Trump and her Jewish Wall Street bankster husband, Jared Kushner. Another Trump Fifth Avenue property, now this is really eye-opening. The famous Trump Tower is 203 meters tall, which equals, ta-da, 666 feet. Donald Trump lives there in gold-enameled opulence on the 66th floor. So he's there on the 66th floor of a 666-foot building. He inherited his grandmother's real estate empire when she died on June 6, 1966. Her name was Elizabeth Christ Trump. Trump announced his candidacy for president on 6-16-15. Now, you got to play with the numbers a little bit, maybe, but June being 6, 16, 1 plus 5 equals 6. Anyway, 666 is what the person is claiming. The 2016 election is 2016, which equals 666 plus 666 plus 666 plus 6 plus 6 plus 6. But anyway, the point is you can play with names, you can play with numbers. I'm not saying that it's not something to pay attention to. I'm not saying that it's not a benchmark. I'm not saying it's not God saying that the time is close. The time is very close. I'm just saying that are you going to play with names and numbers and go by that when determining who to vote for or who should be president, or will you go with God's word? Will you go with what God said? Again, as I brought up a couple shows back, and I believe Exodus 18, I want to say verse 21. And Deuteronomy, I want to say chapter 17, verses 15 through 20 or 21, the end of that chapter, when God gives the standards, the qualifications that we are to go by in determining who we're going to elect as president. Now, like I said, I don't want to get completely off the subject. I don't feel like I did, and I'm not trying to judge anybody, but I wanted to get that out there. Now, Brandon Ward, again, the whole point, though, to this show being, do we actually have a say, and do we actually elect the president? Brandon Ward, at his website, World Events in the Bible, now, this was an article that, or a post that was shared by a Facebook friend of mine that I shared and at various places. A lot of people found it very interesting, and it's titled, The Destruction of Our Nation and the Ballot Box. The United States of America, this is from Brandon T. Ward, once blessed, once great. Have you ever asked yourself why this nation was once blessed? Why and how did this nation become the greatest nation on the face of the earth? It was because we put our Father, that being our Heavenly Father, God, and Yahweh, Jesus Christ, first. He was not only part of our lives, he was part of the nation itself. For decades, we have allowed officials and presidents into power that do not know our Father. We have embraced church leaders who do not know God. Instead, they lean on their own understanding, and he quotes Jeremiah 17:5, Proverbs 3:5. We, the people as a whole, as a nation, have lost our way. We have lost sight of the fact that it was God, our Father in heaven, who blessed this nation and made it great, not us or those we allow to enter into office. And again, he mentions that supposedly this presidential race, the most important in history, we have two so-called candidates who he believes, and I happen to agree, were forced on us by the children of Satan and their mainstream media. Donald Trump, the Republican candidate, and Hillary Clinton, the Democratic candidate, nearly 90% of the American people did not want or did not vote, did not have a part in allowing either one of them to be the nominee to begin with. Now, that's a link to a New York Times piece. Yet here we are, days away from the election, and all the people can say is vote for Trump or Clinton. What about making a stand against the establishment who is forcing these two candidates down our throat? Most of us, and this is true, most of the American people did not particularly want either one of these two into office. So instead of accepting the principles and morals of the two candidates, he goes on to say, basically, let's discuss with our fellow men why these two have been allowed to run in the first place. Why are they our selections if we did not want or choose them? This is a topic we should be discussing. Why do we not reject both candidates and the entire system that is falsely claiming we have an actual choice? The system that is forcing us to accept these two unwanted people as the next president of the most powerful nation on earth. Nationally, that discussion is not likely to occur as we are predisposed to discuss only what the mainstream media drums into our minds as truth. Their truth is Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Can we not think for ourselves, or is this too controversial to discuss with family and friends? Our lack of reason, our lack of ability to think for ourselves is yet another reason why we find ourselves in this boat, because we have allowed our voices to be silenced, because we have allowed our ideals and principles to be stepped on and our morals to be manipulated into worthlessness. And he goes on to talk about how Jesus Christ actually came, Luke 12:51, to create division, divide the righteous from the evil, to tell us the truth. And again, if that offends some, well, it offends those who are evil, which hopefully, though, at least some of them, in being offended, will actually realize the error of their ways and repent. But he goes on to mention, by voting for evil, even if it is the lesser of two evils, you are, of course, still voting for evil. Voting for any evil is not following Christ. By voting for any evil, you are allowing yourself to be divided, and you are not choosing to stand with God, which, again, I entirely agree with, and that's what I've been trying to point out at times. How articulately? Well, some people get it, some people support it, some people agree, some people don't. But that's the whole point of what I've tried to do whenever I've talked about this election. And at times, perhaps I've gotten too political myself. But the gist of it is, will you stand with God and will you stand with his word, or will you pick a candidate that's been chosen for you on either side? He goes on to mention, neither political candidate, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, have this nation's or the best interest at heart. Hillary Clinton is in bed with the globalist. Donald Trump wants to make America great again, yet America, as he says, will never be great without our Father. No man on the face of this earth can make America great without our Father being involved. He says, and I agree, I've seen nothing from Trump to indicate he stands for God, quite the opposite. I've heard him tell me how I should allow a transgender man in the bathroom with my daughter, how sinless he is, how he wants to remove some of our firearm rights, how he wants to sink NATO on sovereign nations. And again, the whole point being, and I can't go into this too much more, I already posted it on Facebook, but the whole point being, are you going to choose, and some will, and you know what, your vote is your vote, but are you going to choose the lesser of two evils, both evils which were hand-picked, as far as I'm concerned, by the establishment, by the tares, by the Kenites, by the globalists, or are you going to choose one of those two evils, or are you going to choose to do your best to stand with God, with his word, with his principles, and go with that? You know, it is your choice. and that's your choice to make. That's not a choice that I'm going to say is going to send anybody to hell if they do decide to do that, as far as voting for the lesser evil. But it is, nevertheless, voting for evil. And, you know, again, this past week was an eye-opener for me, because with all of this news that came out against Hillary Clinton, I actually thought, you know, I've always thought, like perhaps you have thought, that Hillary Clinton was kind of the chosen one. And now, again, I may have been a little bit hasty. I kind of feel like she still is. But I think that they could work with either one of these two, quite honestly. And there was a time this week in which I thought, with all the damaging information coming out against Hillary, that perhaps these globalists, these Kenites, these tares, had decided to dump Hillary and go with Donald. Because, again, they do have a connection to him. They do have a history to him, with him. And I want to get into that just to document it. Now, again, I know I've been very critical of him. That's because I believe that's where the deception lies with Christians. I believe that most Christians, conservative Christians, of course, recognize that Hillary Clinton is no kind of choice. That's great. But they get caught up in believing because they have to stop Hillary, that they therefore have to support Donald Trump. And setting aside some of their own perhaps principles, beliefs, values, morals to do so. Brandon also had, and I'll just make brief mention of it and put it on the American Faith Today Facebook page, this news that recently came out that Donald Trump, once ex-Goldman Sachs partner, I don't know the name, Mnuchin, to run the U.S. Treasury. This guy, former Goldman Sachs and George Soros pal, who he wants as the Secretary of the Treasury. And Brandon says, you can't have globalists in your cabinet and claim to stand against globalism. And I do recall that Donald Trump, I believe, had said before he wanted Carl Icahn as Treasury Secretary, or mentioned him as a possibility. I think, personally, if you look into Carl Icahn, he is a Jew, so-called. If you look into what he does as far as manipulations within the stock market and so forth, I think strong possibility that he is one of the tares, one of the Kenites. You know, that's something that all of us must determine, I suppose. But let me get into Trump again, and then I want to try to close, which unfortunately I have to do early here. But this from yournewswire.com. Rothschilds caught rigging the U.S. presidential election. The U.S. presidential election was rigged even before the first ballot was cast. Everybody knows Hillary Clinton is the establishment's candidate of choice, backed by the Rothschilds and the New World Order. What is less known is that Donald Trump is also a Rothschild creation and actor, playing a part in the great sham that is the Illuminati's fake election, designed to keep control of the people in this supposedly democratic society. Political analysts have been saying that Trump's tilt for the presidency has been 30 years in the making. This makes more sense than they realize. 30 years ago, members of the Rothschild family saved Trump from bankruptcy and took him under their wing. They recognized his potential as a man of use and colorful frontman for a secretive organization that prefers to keep itself in the shadows, as Kenites and tares do. Consider how Trump built his wealth and who supported him during his booms and busts. In 1987, Donald Trump purchased his first casino interest when he acquired 93% of the shares in Resorts International. Resorts International has a sordid history, which began in the early 1950s when it evolved from a CIA and Mossad front company, which had been established for the purpose of money laundering the profits from drug trafficking, gambling, and other illegal activities. On October 30, 1978, the Spotlight newspaper reported that the principal investors of Resorts International were Meyer Lansky, Tibor Rosenbaum, William Mellon Hitchcock, David Rockefeller, and one Baron Edmund de Rothschild. In 1987, upon the death of longtime CIA frontman James Crosby, the nominal head of Resorts International, up-and-coming young New York real estate tycoon Donald Trump, stepped into the picture and bought Crosby's interest in the gambling empire. Trump soon became a household name with his colorful personality and his insistence upon naming a variety of luxury hotels, apartment houses, and other commercial ventures after himself. But while the name Trump appeared in the headlines, the names of the real movers behind Resorts International, Rockefeller, and Rothschild remained hidden from public view. In the 1980s, Donald Trump would find himself in financial trouble as the real estate market in New York tanked. The three casinos in Atlantic City, like Trump assets, were, like other Trump assets, were under threat from lenders. It was only with the assistance and assurance of Wilbur L. Ross Jr., senior managing director of Rothschild Incorporated, that Trump was allowed to keep the casinos and rebuild his threatened empire. That from a Bloomberg article in 1992. The same Wilbur L. Ross, still Jacob Rothschild's right-hand man, came out in support of Trump's nomination in March of this year, also reported by Bloomberg. Jacob Rothschild's son, Nat Rothschild, even dated Ivanka Trump. So, again, they've got people on both sides of this. And if you look into Donald Trump, if you have looked into Donald Trump's background, this is something that you'd understand. I'm not trying to lecture people. I'm trying to hopefully wake people up. The fact that these terrorists, these Kenites, these globalists, these New World Order types are controlling and manipulating the entire system. And putting the faith in any person running for president in this system, especially if they're a Democrat, especially if they're a Republican, is a losing effort. Is, as I just said on the message board, a fool's errand, because it is a gamed system. It is a rigged system. And there's a lot of people out there who have said that, well, Donald Trump is making these people mad, or he's irritated these people all along. They've been furious at him. These people lie. Lying is of their father. It's second nature to them. It is what they do. You know, has Donald Trump threatened them or offended them with the truth? Has he ever really gotten to the real truth? He's gotten to some half-truths. He's gotten to some surface truths. But then he'll go off track, or he'll twist things just a little bit, just like people like a particular supporter of his, Alex Jones, as well. But, you know, again, these people, when the Federal Reserve Act was going to go into effect, some of the bankers, some of these tares, reportedly were against the Federal Reserve Act. Now, were they actually against the Federal Reserve Act? Of course not. It gave them power. It gave them the keys to the country and the government. But they led on like they were. Deception, manipulation, smoke screens is what they deal in. You know, they're woven in with the wheat to where most people can't even determine and can't even divide or recognize the tares from the wheat, because they are that hidden, and because many times their agenda, especially to those who may not be aware, may not have eyes to see, their agenda is that hidden. Anyway, and again, I don't know how close I am to running out of time. I know I'm very close to running out of time. I'll have an article on American Faith Today Facebook page too, from 2004, saying the Illuminati always win the election. It's from rents.com. It talks about more of this. It even mentions it in 2004. And, you know, I doubt if too many conservatives caught on to this, but in 2004, you had four companies that made the electronic voting machines that at that time were linked to the Republican Party. You had John Kerry conceding the election before all the votes were even counted in Ohio. You know, all of this stuff is set up, is rigged, so that they get their person. If they don't get their person, then they will kill them, or at least they will try to, as they did with JFK, as they did with Bobby Kennedy, as they did with Abraham Lincoln, as they tried to do with Andrew Jackson, as they tried to do with Ronald Reagan. Putting faith in this system. You know, go out there, vote till your heart's content. Make your statement, but put your trust in God. Understand the times that we're in. Understand that this is a system that we're in right now that they're trying to build. They'll probably try to create the deadly wound themselves, even, to bring their father, Antichrist, onto the scene. I mean, that is certainly a very real possibility, I believe. So, you know, again, just do your best to stick to the word if you're a Christian. Do your best to stick to the word, to stick with God, to follow his instructions, to follow your principles, and live and vote accordingly.